You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Pizarro. And I have to warn you all that Joe has not been prepped on what we're going to talk about this week, so it could be absolutely anything. We could hit any kind of random topic. Oh, wait, no. Okay. First, Joe, the Marlins committed to Mike Redmond for an extension not that long ago. They are a little bit but not a lot under 500 and a little bit but not a lot out of first place, despite doing without their top two starting pitchers. So it's hardly fair to evaluate how good this club is right now. And yet, somehow after 38 games, they decided that Mike Redmond was no longer the guy. So first, simple question, why is that?
It is one of the strangest stories, Matthew, in over 10 years of covering this team, and there have been plenty of strange stories.
That's saying a lot.
Just to get to this point, because it just kind of became internal disarray. And, you know, now they're trying to hold it together with, you know, the blown saves on the road trip seem to have cost Mike Redmond his job. You know, obviously they go to Washington, San Fran and L.A., go 4-6 in those three places, which isn't dreadful considering the quality of competition, but had three blown saves, one in the eighth inning by Brian Morris and then the ones in San Francisco and Los Angeles by Steve Cishek, which cost him his closer's job and ultimately kind of set the mood in, you know, the front office to or upper management, I should say, or ownership, to just basically say they don't like the direction. And then, and you know, they came home, they were flat against the Braves, almost got no hit on Sunday, and by Shelby Miller, and that was the last straw. And the twist is obviously the guy they hired, you know, the general manager, Dan Jennings, with no previous coaching or managing experience at the professional level. And it's just kind of startling and stunning as this team is trying to find its stride. You know, they're trying to grind through a rough patch, which all teams are going to do. And next thing they know, they got a new voice and a new direction. And, you know, they're going to see if they could kind of regroup internally.
I have read the quotes. I know what the official answer is as to why Dan Jennings was the choice. Great baseball guy, knows these guys, et cetera. With that said, I suspect there are a large number of guys within the organization about whom that same thing could be said. Minor league managers, coaches, there are plenty of people who are likable, energetic baseball guys who know the players on this roster. So, given that those same descriptors probably apply to plenty of other people, why was Jennings the choice and not, if they're going to stay with him, if they're not going to go with a search, if they're not going to go find somebody outside the organization, they're not going to commit to their next manager. If this is presumably for the rest of this year and then they figure it out after that, why is it Dan Jennings and not any of a number of other options?
I think, Matthew, that they wanted to try to keep as much continuity and stability. They didn't feel they were far off. You know, I think they didn't want to completely rattle the cage and bring in an outside voice, someone from another team or, you know, a former manager who may have his own style, his own way of doing things. They kind of wanted they obviously used the word wanted a different voice. I don't think they wanted a completely radical voice. So then they wanted to kind of hold it together as best they can, and all the qualities that Dan Jennings possesses are what they kind of look for, except for he has zero dugout experience. But I tell you, Matt, it makes no sense. Let's make that clear. This is completely crazy, and it's so far out of the box and not very rational. But what I've noticed being around the team, the players aren't that disturbed by it, even though that, you know, it's also weird because Redmond didn't lose the clubhouse, but so many people like Dan Jennings and all these players like Dan Jennings that they're willing to give him a chance, which is the biggest key in all of this, Matthew, because it doesn't really matter what anyone else really thinks as long as they buy in. So this is what's going to be completely fascinating about this is, yes, the idea of, and I think we're seeing the sport moving more where the front office has to be in step with the dugout in terms of how do we even want to, you know, set the lineup, Do we want this guy up or that guy up? And yes, I could see more teams following a similar path, but Dan Jennings is a baseball guy's baseball guy. He's a scout who likes to be near the field. He's not so much your, you know, just break down the numbers and this is why this guy should be playing. So they could possibly pull this off because of only the man that's there, this guy who's that charismatic and has that many people like him, buy into him.
Is this just, presumably they at least hope it is for the remainder of this year. Is it just the remainder of this year and then they revisit this winter, or is there some possibility that this is beyond that?
Yeah, let's handle the first part. If it's not the remainder of this year, it means it's a complete disaster and he feels he's so overmatched and not being fair to this clubhouse that he basically says, let me go back and be the GM and let's, you know, slide someone else in there. So if it's not for the rest of this year, that means this year is a complete disaster. They say Dan is signed through 18, you know, just like Mike Hill, the president of baseball operations. I just don't see it in 16. I have to think he goes back and they go the conventional way and just get the manager of their choice. And they go that way, even if they win, even if they somehow turn this around the way they like and go farther than anyone can imagine, I still don't see Dan Jennings managing in 16. The only way, Matthew, I see that is if he basically in his mind becomes a manager. But if he's still in his mind a general manager, I think eventually it will create the same divides that that happened many times with every other manager. The manager is always going to be the buffer to the front office and is always going to kind of take the bullets for the players. And if DJ thinks more like traditional baseball people that wear the uniform and in his mind is a manager, then I think he stays. But if not, I really would be surprised if he's a manager in 16.
We have so far, and I feel like most of the coverage in general has so far, concentrated on the clubhouse and the dugout, concentrated on Jennings as manager and his relation to the club on the field. To me, there's another really big component of this, which is that this is a club with needs, and it's a club that views itself as a contender, which means that
Right. The
next 2.5 months are pretty important for the front office. You know, they could probably use some innings somehow in their rotation. They could probably use some help in their bullpen. This is not a perfect team. It's a team that can use upgrades. It's a team that has identified 2015 as a season it intends to win, which means that it needs a front office to be busy. So how does the front office work? How does that work with its general manager removed as these next 2.5 months go by and even beyond
that? That is a really fantastic point. And it also impacts the draft, Matthew, because DJ is very much involved running out and looking at players. But let's take to the big league level. You know, Hill and Jennings kind of worked in tandem anyway. So it's not like, and Michael is a GM himself being promoted to the president of baseball ops. So, you know, he's over that. They feel they have a very good support staff with assistant GM Mike Berger, Jeff McAvoy, and Craig Weissman. And these guys have been, you know, they all came in when they replaced Larry Beinfest. Those other guys came in to kind of join how they do things. So things will run pretty much as usual on that front, but DJ's influence in personnel, in the scouting and directing and just, you know, being a guy who could kind of keep things together will definitely be missed on that front. And it will, you know, impact that. But I think right now, Matthew, they know they may need a trade. The bullpen's been the biggest disaster. That's what's going on now. I mean, there's been some spotty starting pitching. Yeah, we get that part. But Jose's coming back. Alvarez should get better with a few more starts. So their two, you know, best two starters will be there. The other guys have been serviceable. But this team's going to be a better team when Tom Kohler is pitching the eighth inning. And I think they're just kind of waiting. But Kohler's been, you know, such a bulldog. You know, he does what he needs to do as a starter as well. But his role, they really need him in the eighth inning to shore that up. And they're going to need, whether it's Justin Nicolino, or Jose Urena, or Kendry Flores, who's in Double-A, the other two guys are in Triple-A, they're going to need one of those three to probably come up at some point in the next couple of weeks solidify the rotation so some of the starters could go into the bullpen and help patch that up. And then if they could get to the magic number is, Matthew, in terms of where they are, in terms of if they feel they got any shot this year, the closer they are, if they're at 500 at the All-Star break, that's the deadline they're looking at. They're not looking at where they are now. They know it's going to take a few weeks to sort this out. But if they could get into that position, then you could start seeing trades, and then they could kind of be like the rest of the pack.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras. Good luck sorting out exactly what's going on as the weeks go on, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.